This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Jesse de Wit, Lightning developer, Breeze, the Netherlands.
Utrecht is a vibrant city located in the central Netherlands, known for its rich history, picturesque canals, and lively cultural scene. Did you know Utrecht is home to the world's smallest functional house, measuring just 2.02 meters wide and 5 meters deep?
No.
A slavink is a roll of minced meat wrapped in bacon. It is a variant of the much longer existing blindevink. Do you know its name? It's named slavink because the butcher that gave the name thought it was best eaten with salad.
No.
Is it true you look up to Christian Decker?
Yes.
The Swarm is a science fiction novel written by German author Frank Schätzing. The novel revolves around the discovery of an unknown and highly intelligent species living in the depths of the ocean. The book was first published in Germany in 2004. It was later translated into English and published in 2006. Did you read the German version of the book too?
No.
Rowing is a sport that involves propelling a boat forward through water using oars. It is one of the oldest Olympic sports and has a rich history dating back thousands of years. Did you know rowing competitions between universities date back to the 18th century, with the first recorded race between Oxford and Cambridge taking place in 1829?
Yes.
Drinking water is essential for maintaining overall health and well-being. Did you know the ancient Greek civilization is known for developing some of the earliest methods of purifying drinking water, including filtration through sand and boiling?
No.
Adam's Apples is a Danish black comedy film by Anders Thomas Jensen. The film tells the story of Adam, a neo-Nazi sentenced to community service at a church in rural Denmark. He encounters Ivan, the optimistic pastor of the church. Despite their differences, Ivan insists on helping Adam confront his violent tendencies and nihilistic worldview. Did you know the scene with the crows eating apples was planned to be computer generated until a few Czech showed up with 4 boxes of real trained crows and everything worked out fine?
No.
Is it hard to finish a Lightning network project since the landscape of the Lightning implementations is still steadily evolving?
Yes.
Have I Told You Lately is a song written in 1989 and recorded by Northern Irish singer and songwriter Van Morrison. Do you know that the song was originally written as a prayer?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 107 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from BL3P and Bringin. Thank you guys for helping us with our mission to connect the world with Bitcoin through the Lightning Network. And if you also want to help out with our mission, then head over to our Twitter, subscribe at YouTube, or to our Telegram groups where you can ask us anything and you can also make a donation, of course.
Conecta el mundo.
Welcome, Jesse.
Welcome, Jesse. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
After such a long time.
Good to be back,
time.
Man. Episode 20 was the last time we had you on the show. So,
so much has happened in Lightning generations.
Definitely. Great. A lot has happened in my Lightning career, too. Yeah,
also in your Lightning, because you weren't working at Breeze at the time. You were just a Lightning enthusiast, and we invited you because of your knowledge on maintaining Lightning nodes, but it was just, well, hobby-wise, maybe, or
I
not
also
professional.
Remember that, that you made a proposal change for Lightning Labs.
Yeah, I made
at that time.
I made a pull request on MLB. Yeah. Yeah, that got merged, and that's actually what got me to work in Breeze at the end.
That's such a nice example for future developers. So if someone is listening and thinks, well, how do I get there and be visible, then just everyone can do this, right? If you're a programmer.
GitHub is the best resume for a developer. So if you want to land a job somewhere, then GitHub and supporting other projects is definitely a good way to go.
Yeah.
And what was the pull request about? I mean, can you explain it like on five?
I added a function, like an API function called track payments, and it allowed you to track all the payments that your Lightning node was doing. There was already a function then called track payment, which you could use to track a single payment. And the point was, like, when you're doing a Lightning payment and it sends it somewhere and then it fails and sends it somewhere else and it fails and then you choose another route and that fails. And I wanted to get the information from all these failed attempts because it gives info on what the Lightning graph looks like at that point in time. And track payments make that easier.
Yeah, and this helps with making the payments more reliable, or?
Yeah, it sort of helps as a routing node to get a better sense of what the graph looks like. And the idea was also that eventually when trampoline routing may become a thing, then you might be people might be outsourcing pathfinding to you. So it would be a very good idea to know exactly like what the cheapest routes are in the network. And also as a routing node back then, I was rebalancing a lot.
Yeah.
And if you're rebalancing a lot, you're doing a lot of payments and you always wanted to do the cheapest rebalance possible.
Yeah.
So I was trying to analyze the graph.
Yeah.
Because it's funny because I never rebalanced any channel on my node. I mean, I only have six channels or something. I mean, it's not a lot, but it's somehow organically, because I see some routing, and I mean, it's not a lot, but I see still some routing, and they are all, I'm quite organically moving my local and remote balance through the channel. So I never had any problems with it. And to be honest, I only use my node for making payments, and then my spend and replace, that's the one who is coming in every now and then. So, I never rebalanced it. But to be honest, I'm also not a big routing node. So maybe if I put more time and effort in it, that my routing will shoot up. But
yeah, I guess you're a lucky one then. Also, I was really looking to try to make sure that any payment ever routed over my node would succeed. The thing I was trying to accomplish to make sure that senders know that, like, this is a good node, and they would all in their mission control have me as a super node.
Yeah.
So that was the goal back then. But I actually stopped doing that eventually.
Hey, but talking of me being lucky, my oldest channel is 2 years and 190 days old.
I think I have also such a channel.
That's also crazy, right?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And my youngest channel.
Channel then, right?
Sorry?
It's probably not an anchor channel then. You should close it and get a new one.
it's still alive, and I'm still using it. And my youngest channel is 170 days old. My average channel age is almost 2 years. So
I have one here. The oldest is 2 years, 295 days.
But the thing is, maybe that's what I wanted to say, that like I'm not hoping to be a routing node. I am aware that I'm not going to make a ton of money out of a routing node.
Yeah.
So I just spun my node up because it's fun to experiment with in the first place. And secondly, because I just like to make my payments at the restaurants and the bars I go, where I can pay with Lightning using my own service instead of a custodial one. Or you can obviously also make use of Breeze with this, which is a non-custodial service. But my own node in my own home, That's the reason why I spun up my note, and because I always hear people say, yeah, it's difficult to maintain and all, and I'm like, yeah, but that's only if you want to be a routing node, right?
I mean, but
if
you just it's a sport, I think, for every new node runner that to have some routing, some yeah, that something happens on your node.
Maybe because people think that keeping keeping a node is cost incentive is like you make some costs, right? Electricity costs, it's very little, yeah. but people want to make that make some profit out of it to
and make it better, make it more efficient. I think that's also the sport, right?
I think in 2020 a lot of people started thinking they would actually make a lot of money. Routing payments, and this is like that's probably a dream ending. Like if you put a lot of effort in it and a lot of custom code, then maybe you were able to do that.
Yeah, but and also put a lot of the article. Also put a lot of Bitcoin in it, right? As liquidity, because if you have too little liquidity, so it's also like it's a higher reward, but also higher risk, right? I mean, it's still
But I think also with our project Rings of Fire, the goal was also to educate people with nodes. And I think they're not going to forget the basic working of it. And I mean, you were talking about trampoline routing. Well, that's the gossip and the graph. That concept is known now. So I think that makes it interesting that if you have a node and you're part of the graph, and your node is there, and I think a lot of people were wandering off and on that road, learning a lot of stuff. And it's not in the end not the goal to make a lot of money. I think that's
And exactly, if you just use a node for payments yourself, that's pretty fun. Good to do, right?
You indeed.
Have a few channels and
non-custodial. You're doing everything yourself.
Yeah, but to be honest, I'm really happy that I did it back then, because I opened my channels with one set by Freebyte back at the time, and well, the mempool is now it's like doable again, but still, I think it's not beneath 11 or 12 sets per Freebyte. Well, it's now like around 12 sets per Freebyte. So
but I have a clock that is
but a couple of months ago it wasn't reasonable to open or close a Lightning channel. So
no, indeed,
it was like 500 sets per Freebyte.
Exactly. So I'm really happy that I did it, and I will I would still encourage everyone to tip a toe in the water and just go for it and just experiment with it, because it's like the journey is great. Only the journey is enough for me to encourage people to do it. So I mean, you don't know what the future will bring, and I already have like my options there, right? So otherwise you need to maybe if you're a Bitcoiner and there is some kind of future where you have to spend some sats, I hope for you that you're also able to use the Lightning Network instead of only using on-chain transactions, especially when shit hits the fan and everyone wants to do a transaction, then the fees will rise. And I mean, it's I think it's good for everyone to be able to use the Lightning Network.
It's but, now okay. 15 sets per fee byte.
Yeah, exactly. So it's way different than back then.
Yeah. But, it is.
And obviously, I mean, I'm also not that negative about having a small amount of satoshis at a Lightning custodial service or wallet, or I mean, just for spending sets, it's perfect.
And otherwise, it's not custodial, man.
No, but I mean,
yeah, but it's so easy to have it non-custodial, like Breeze.
You can use Breeze for that. But I mean, if people just want to download an easy to go a Lightning wallet, and they just have a few bucks in it for spending,
of course. But I think also it's much more easier to build something non-custodial. So that's also what you see now, that it isn't really the side of the developers, it's becoming a lot easier.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, you see that there's a bunch of developers now jumping on to integrate Lightning into their applications. And it's definitely become a lot easier. Maybe it's like, I do agree with the custodial stuff for probably if you're just trying to onboard someone or you're just trying to show like what the Lightning Network is like, because actually getting a channel and becoming non-custodial, it is a bit of a commitment, right? You do have a channel and you should use it. If you don't use it, then there's no point in becoming non-custodial with the Lightning channel. So if you're just trying to show someone for the first time like what is Lightning, then I do think custodial can be a good option for a small amount and temporary.
Yeah, temporary. Then you will just fall into the rabbit hole and and make the choice to do it all yourself, right? I mean, that's that's the expectation at least. So, but nice, man. Let's head over to the 21 minutes if you're ready.
Yeah,
and let's talk about Breeze.
I'm ready.
The 21 minutes is brought to you by Bringin, the app to reliably sell and spend Bitcoin from any wallet. We were talking, I think, before the show also about the interview we did with Roy Scheinfeld of Breeze. That was in September 22. And Roy always emphasized Breeze's role as more than a wallet and aiming to serve as a gateway to the Lightning economy. And a lot has happened since then. The Breeze SDK is here now.
Yep.
And a lot of possible Lightning service providers are also available. And we talked with a couple of them. How has Breeze evolved in fulfilling this vision, especially concerning infrastructure improvements?
Yeah, so next to our own app, now we have a software development kit for others to also integrate Lightning payments into their own applications. So naturally, that shifts the focus from creating an app that's easy to use for a user to creating a software development kit, which should be easy to use for developers.
Yeah.
We shift focus to creating a programming interface like in multiple languages. Serving multiple apps has its own challenges. So what you see is that now we have our open LSP model. So we used to have like one LSP. We now have we run two LSPs with Breeze now, but we also onboard other Lightning service providers to provide liquidity for apps. So this is the main difference. The major shift is that we've gone from serving users to serving developers.
And is it then possible, because there's something in my mind which I'm thinking of a couple of weeks now, that I don't understand why Lightning isn't already by default baked into the apps that hardware wallet companies provide. I mean, if you want to drive adoption, in my opinion, you just have to have one app in which you have your savings account. Can be a multi-sig or a hardware wallet involved, and then like a Lightning section. And we discussed this with John Carvalho. I don't know if it was on the record or off the record, Edward. I forgot.
I think we discussed this,
and he said, "Yeah, I mean, I'm focusing on Lightning because this is the thing I do good." And then the hardware wallet guys, they are making their own stuff, and they are doing a way better job in creating hardware wallets than I can do. But yeah. Is this the case that people of that, for instance, let's say the BitKey from the Jack Dorsey company can just implement Lightning using your SDK? Is it that simple if they want?
Yeah, it's that simple. Yeah, it's definitely that simple. First of all, like a hardware wallet is a very different thing than a Lightning node, right? So a hardware wallet, you always work with the chain and it's deterministic. So if you ever lose all your data, for example, then with the seed, you can recover everything you've got, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you need some descriptors, but But otherwise, you can recover everything you've got. With Lightning, it's very different because you need all your historical state in order to be able to recover a Lightning node. So it's definitely a different field of expertise. So this is why, I guess, Lightning hardware wallet companies haven't implemented Lightning yet, because they needed to know, they needed to be Lightning experts in order to be able to even do something with the Lightning node, and let alone stuff like liquidity for users yeah. who don't understand liquidity.
Yeah.
So what they can do now is they can, yeah, they could use the Breeze SDK, and yeah, it would be very easy for them to integrate Lightning payments.
Yeah, great. But no offense, but I can understand that from a developer's perspective. Yep. It is very difficult, and those are completely different worlds. I also had a discussion with Tom from Bitonic last Friday. We had a dinner at Jan's place, the Rumor in Haarlem. Guys, if you're in Holland and you want to pay your food with Bitcoin, the Rumor is the place to be in Haarlem. And he also said, yeah, but it's two completely different worlds. And I was like, yeah, but for the customer, for me as a customer, it shouldn't matter, right? I mean, I don't have to know are completely two completely different worlds. I just want to have the UX on point, you know. I just want one app, and yeah, the company is like you have to deal with the things that are going on in the background. And yeah. If you don't have the knowledge in house, why isn't everyone using Breeze already, right? The SDK.
Okay, but there's a lot of people actually starting to go on the SDK, and also hardware wallets, by the way. But the SDK is pretty new, right? So
yeah,
wasn't there yet.
Talk
about UX, what was missing, I guess, was the DX, like the development.
Yeah, so it opens a lot of possibilities for future developments.
And so we have it now, and there's a bunch of companies starting to integrate this. And also, I guess, the SDK, it has a certain model, right? So you have a Lightning node in the cloud, and your keys are local.
Yeah.
And everything is sort of hidden from your keys are local, so you're running a local signer. But this whole local signer is sort of hidden from the user, but also from the developer. You wouldn't even see it as a developer. You just you can know that it's there, but we try to hide all the complexities of this. And as a hardware wallet company, like the first thing you think about when you run a hardware wallet company and you're making hardware wallets, you want everything to be signed on that device.
Yeah, sure.
Right, so that's the first thing that comes to mind when you are a hardware wallet company. You want everything to be signed on a device, and that is still something that's that would be work.
That's
you don't get that out of the box with the Breeze SDK, but that would still be work.
Yeah, but you can make like two different subjects within the app, right? So and aware people like, okay, this is your spending wallet, like this is your Lightning wallet. It's instant. Yeah. It's low cost. This portion of your Bitcoin, it's easily to buy stuff and to pay for your food and then we have this wallet and this is connected. I'm talking about stuff that will happen in the near future.
That people wouldn't make a mistake and put everything on the Lightning wallet.
But then you have to educate, and that isn't
course,
hard, right?
Of course.
I mean, it's still Bitcoin. Hey, but okay, talking about the Breeze SDK, how has the developer community responded to it since it became available? That's something we really want to know. And can you name a couple of examples of tools which are using the Breeze SDK already?
Yeah, so very enthusiastic. People have been very enthusiastic about Breeze SDK, and a lot of companies have approached us trying to assess whether they want to use the SDK or actually started building on it. And to be honest, I find it myself pretty overwhelming how many people are actually building with it. Mind-blowing. And it's because it's really the first time it's so easy to integrate non-custodial Lightning payments into your own app, right? Before, this just wasn't possible. So there's a bunch of apps in different stages of implementation. And we've got, for example, we've got Relay, which did a big launch lately to all their users. Lipa. We've got Bitbox, which is a hardware wallet. So
yeah, there,
and there you go. Green from Blockstream is has it implemented. Then there's Satimoto, with, which you can use to charge your...
Yeah, we had him on the show too.
And Ross, who created Satimoto, actually is part of the team now. We've got Picnic Groups, Bring In, Flash, Crowd Health, Tatakoa, and Kumuli. They all implemented the Breeze SDK already. Awesome. And there's still a bunch of companies building. So a lot of enthusiasm.
But you said Bitbox too, and are they integrated then in their app like I...
Exactly like you described.
Okay, cool. Well, then I need to check it out. I mean, Bitbox isn't is of one of the few hardware wallets I don't have, so... that's a coincidence.
And well, it's interesting because you told also that Bringing is using the SDK, and Bringing is supporting our show. We talked to Present not so long ago, and it's a tool that allows you to spend Bitcoin instantly and safely from any wallet. So an on-ramp and off-ramp is, of course, super easy. And they pivoted from working on a custodial Bitcoin payment app due to regulatory hurdles. How did the SDK of Breeze specifically address the challenges they face, and what made it stand out as a solution to bridging the fiat banking system with Lightning?
Yeah, so the first thing to know, like, if you are building a service for users and you want to integrate Lightning, then... Of course, your first thought is, well, custodial, because it's very easy to do custodial, right? It's very easy to implement, and you can pretty easily create an app that does custodial. But yeah, the problem is that regulatory hurdle. You're holding the assets of the users.
Yeah.
And because of that, you will be regulated. And there's a lot of... and probably with Lightning, that's going to be pretty hard to do, because you won't know who's paying you. So that would be
even more privacy.
So a solution for this is non-custodial. So if you're not holding the assets of the user, if the users hold their own assets, they hold their own keys, you just create an app, and you're not even a service provider for payments for these users. So that's how non-custodial should improve this experience, and now non-custodial works just as well as custodial does, right? This is super easy to implement Lightning payments using the Breeze SDK. I've done some demos. They'll be findable on the internet on how quickly you can implement an app that integrates Lightning payments.
That's a great webinar you guys did, which explains it.
And then there's the open LSP model, where anyone can become an LSP, that also makes it possible to provide liquidity for your users. So if you would have a lot of users, for example, you would even be able to put in your own liquidity, and you can make sure that every user you onboard will have enough liquidity to receive and send Lightning payments.
Like, can you elaborate a bit more on how Breeze SDK facilitates this liquidity for large-scale operations?
So when you build an app as a developer, you will be assigned an LSP. That's basically the first... we'll have to figure out, like, how many users would you want to serve, how much liquidity would they need, and you'll be assigned an LSP, or you can become the LSP yourself. And then when you roll out your app, when you actually start getting new users, every user gets their own user node, like their own personal node in Greenlight, in the cloud. And these user nodes, they would become connected to a Lightning service provider. So this Lightning service provider. And when you want to receive a payment, which is literally through the receive payment function call, then the user creates an invoice. And the moment this invoice gets paid, the Lightning service provider will open a channel to the user. And this costs a little fee for the user. This is all very intuitive from the developer API that we give. So this is sort of how it works. Does that sort of explain?
I think so. And I was thinking, well, under the hood, it's real complex. So given this complexity of integrating Lightning Network into apps, well, what were the most significant technical challenges for Breeze while developing the SDK? Because you're also telling about the keys, well, signing is hidden. Well, it must be spot on, right? Because otherwise you can't use it.
And you sort of said it already. So the hardest challenge is to abstract away all this complexity.
Yeah.
So because what we want is developers not to have to be Lightning experts in order to develop with the Breeze SDK, right? So we are Lightning experts, but anybody using the Breeze SDK, it should be like an API, like Stripe or just Lightning as a service, and you just implement the SDK, and you've got documentation, and everything works smoothly. So making that abstraction and translating it for simple terms for our developers, that's probably the most challenging thing to do. So in the SDK, you don't have terms like create invoice or something, or so you don't have anything like
that. The normal Lightning terminology.
Yeah, no normal Lightning terminology.
Well, okay.
Send a payment and receive a payment.
Yeah.
And send on chain. Yeah, we do have that.
Yeah.
So that's a biggest challenge. And some other big challenges we had already solved with the Breeze app. Like the seamless liquidity and what UX should look like. And for example, like swaps to on-chain and fiat integration. Yeah. We had already solved those. But putting them in that SDK and making it very easy for developers to use, I think that's one of the biggest challenges. And there's still like a big challenge in it's sort of easier to serve the happy flow, like when everything just works, that's okay. Yeah. But there's layers of deep in what you have to do in order to make the bad flows easy to understand for developers as well.
And maybe it's more difficult because also developers that are totally not into Lightning are going to use this. So maybe that is in talking with them and serving them, it could be more difficult because then you need to explain things that they just can't grasp.
Yeah, and some things they have is very specific UX, like when do you have to pay fees, for example, right?
Yeah.
And communicating these fees to the user. There's very, very pretty specific things you need to implement as an app developer eventually, like if you want to have that very rich experience. So these things, we were getting better and better at solving these. But it's been very good to have all these companies building on top of it because, they definitely polished our API.
Yeah.
And for example, first we had interfaces like create a node or connect to an already existing node. Like the very simple thing, but then you're already talking about the node. So now we just have one interface. We have got connect.
Yeah.
Your seat,
super easy.
And we just do everything for you.
Okay. Yeah.
ain't a Breeze wallet, but the whole company, I can say, emphasizes a non-custodial approach to Bitcoin Lightning transactions. How does the SDK maintain this non-custodial integrity while still offering seamless user experiences, particularly with features like automated channel management and seamless backups?
Yeah. For automatic channel management, it's always full Lightning channels that we've got. So Lightning channels, they are non-custodial because nobody can cheat you, right? So we're just using the Lightning protocol. And so we're leaning a lot on the Lightning protocol and the security that it offers. So there's already a lot in there that we just use and just works. So it's great that we can lean on that. for example, the necessary fees that you have to pay as a developer, they are very clear through the developer interface. And one thing is that we've got this node in the cloud, right? Maybe I haven't really explained that very well yet because it can be a bit weird for users to know.
Yeah.
Like, what is he even talking about? Node in the cloud, keys local, what is it? What is it even? So there's a product called Greenlight, and it's been created by Blockstream.
Yeah.
And with Greenlight, what you get, like as a user, that's installed an app on their phone, you get your own Lightning node in the cloud at the Blockstream infrastructure. So they manage hosting for you. They manage databases and all this networking, all this stuff that you do not want to worry about as a regular user, unless you have your own node in your own house, for example. But this node, it doesn't have your keys. So you have your keys local on your device. And for every state update that you have to do, you sign a message basically on your node itself.
Yeah.
On your phone itself, not on your node, but on your phone itself. And because this key never leaves your device and is not available in your node on the cloud, your node on the cloud is unable to spend your funds, and only you are as a user using the app. So,
I think that's a great thing that you squeezed in because you mentioned Greenlight before, and that's a real good explanation. I had just one question that I really wanted to ask. Is Steph okay?
You can cheat this time. we won't tell anyone, all right?
I mean, there are so many interesting questions, but because Lightning Labs just added support for LND 18, and at the beginning of last year, you wrote a Twitter thread explaining the proposal of Joost Jager did for adding the possibility for inbound fees. So this is going to be a little bit technical, but could you provide a short overview of inbound fees proposal of Joost Jager, which is really old in Lightning terms, and explain how it fundamentally changes the dynamic for routing nodes in a Lightning network?
Sure, yeah. So basically there's an issue as a routing mm-hmm. node, or an issue. There's a dynamic that when you charge a fee as a routing node, you always charge a fee on the outbound channel.
Yeah.
If you're a routing node, the payment, you're forwarding a payment, so it comes in somewhere and it goes out somewhere. It comes in somewhere and you charge a fee on the outgoing side. But sometimes the inbound side it sort of matters. You sort of want to, if it comes in from one channel, it might be favorable over it coming in from another channel and then going out through the same node. So, and there is no real way to manage that yet as a routing node, like to tweak where you want your traffic to come from. And some liquidity is just more expensive than other liquidity.
Yeah.
So Joost created the inbound fee proposal and he made a pull requests in LND. For that. And basically the way it works is, so now you're able to charge an inbound fee
inbound fee, yeah,
on your channel. But there's a little problem with that. Because if you start charging an inbound fee on the inbound channel, if a sender who sends a payment finds a route through the network and tries to pay over your node, he doesn't know about this inbound fee, right? Because if it's a Core Lightning node, for example, the concept inbound fee just doesn't exist.
It's only
LD. Just find a route and he will pay, and then the payment will fail because your node will say, well, you didn't pay enough fees, right?
Yeah.
And the solution for that was to make the inbound fee negative. And that's it's a bit of mind bend, maybe.
That's interesting, yeah.
But what you can do is you can increase the fees of all your outbound sites, and then charge a negative inbound fee on a bunch of channels. Basically on every channel, but then the one where you actually wanted to charge an inbound fee on, you then put the inbound fee there to zero. And so now the sender who didn't know about inbound fees, he'll actually overpay. But his payment will still succeed. And the sender who does know about inbound fees will get that inbound fee discount.
Ah, okay.
Very interesting. I think that's great to hear it like this. I think not a lot of people have talked about it. It was a bit of a surprise, but it's interesting that it is implemented now. So we'll keep following it.
Yeah, and it should be mentioned, like it's merged in LND now. It's not part of the Bolt spec.
No.
There's a blip proposal for this spec. And I don't think Core Lightning and Lightning Dev Kit are going to implement it soon, but
interesting. We'll keep following that. Awesome. All right.
Connect o mundo.
Yeah, that's. Then I will ask a question too, Edward, if I may.
Of course, of course.
No. Yes, we recorded three questions from different people, and we really want you to choose one of the three. We have a question from Michael Fischer from OpaGo, from Patrick van der Meijden from Arnhem Bitcoin Stud, and also organizing the Adopting Bitcoin Arnhem this year, and John Carvalho from Synonym. Which one will it be?
I think maybe the John Carvalho.
All right.
Hi, this is John Carvalho from Synonym, and my question is, can you imagine a rational scenario as to why Taproot assets will fail?
Let's keep it technical, yes.
A rational scenario as to why Taproot assets will fail. That's a good question. Why it would potentially fail? I don't know. Maybe because Tether on Tron is preferred
over choose your words carefully.
But other than that, there's this one thing. So they say with Taproot assets, it's like at the edges of the network, right? So if you want to pay someone through that Bitcoin network, you're going to have to do a swap like over Bitcoin. So someone has to convert your, for example, if you have a Taproot asset dollar on one side, then someone has to convert this dollar into Bitcoin. And then at the recipient side, either they receive Bitcoin or they would have to swap it back again. And these swaps are going to take fees as well. And so I do have some doubts about that. Like how would that would probably be sort of pricey, and people will try to circumvent this priciness. And that's maybe where it may fail.
Okay.
That's maybe
okay.
where it fails, John.
Maybe. Yeah, he of course was teasing. He's always like
skeptical. He's always skeptical.
I love it that it's always it gets you to think the other way around. But well, there's a lot of development in every corner. So if we know this now, then thanks again. Conectează lumea.
Yeah, thanks for the talk again, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Always man. Great.
Are we seeing each other at Adopting Bitcoin in Arnhem, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool, man.
I'll be in
Arnhem. Nice. And you're all, when do you arrive?
At Adopting Bitcoin.
Yeah. Or only the Saturday. I mean, no, the whole week is full of entertainment.
I thought side events.
The day. But maybe I'll go to side events too.
The conference is on Saturday, but yeah. I'm there from Friday.
Oh, and
so if you want to have a beer or so in the evening, then
maybe I'll
let's hook up.
And for everyone at Thursday 23rd, there's a Nostradam side event about Nostr.
Right.
I think it's again in Bride, right, Steph? Yeah.
No, it should be in
No, sorry, no. sorry. No, it will it's be at Arnhem. Yeah, of course.
And probably it should be at BitDevs.
The BitDevs is on Friday, I thought.
So probably.
But I'm not sure. I think it's on Friday because it's normally on Friday. So
I'm so accustomed to Amsterdam, but this is Arnhem. So
yeah, you love Braai.
Yeah, of course. We're gonna eat there, Steph. So that's for sure. Definitely what we're gonna do.
Yeah, the BitDevs is on Friday, by the
it's
way.
It's on
just
Friday.
Got it confirmed by Roman.
Okay.
One of the organizers too. So
yeah, but nice. Busy days.
Busy days, man. Hey, where can people follow you, Jesse?
I'm on Twitter and I'm on Nostr. So I guess you will put links in the show notes.
Yeah, of course.
I have a very difficult to pronounce name in English. So.
Yeah, I saw your pup key, but do you also have a Nippo 5 or?
I don't, maybe. I don't really know whether I have a Nippo 5, but I'll try to find it for you.
we now found out you're a speaker at
Adopting
Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm in a panel. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it already released or is it already?
I don't think so. No.
This is a scoop. Jesse De Wit is going to be on a panel at Adopting Bitcoin in Arnhem. Don't miss it.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah, we're we're telling it, and Roman is saying, "No, not yet." So well, great. Thanks again, Jesse, and to everybody else, thanks for listening. Also to all members in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire, and of course thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like and share our content on your favorite platform. So we need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning, and of course use the SDK, and see you all next week at the same Lightning channel. Tot ziens, Jesse.
See you, Jesse.
Hasta la vista.